Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Is Christianity worth considering? We live in a time when we're exposed to all kinds of world religions through the media and through their being brought to this country from other countries, all kinds of Eastern mysticism and Eastern religions, all kinds of denominationalisms and new churches and splits and splinters and religious groups coming on the scene. But is genuine New Testament Christianity worth considering? The answer is no to some people, sadly, because of division, because of confusion. And yet Jesus prayed that all his disciples might be one, that all his believers might be united, that as he and the Father were one, that the world might believe that the Father had sent him. His servant Paul rebuked division existed in the church at Corinth when he says that you ought to be of the same mind, the same judgment. He said, not one of Paul and not one of Apollos and not one of Cephas and one of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And the unanswered answer was no. Paul had not died for them. They had not been baptized in his name. And so he besought them that they be of the same mind, the same judgment, and they speak the same thing. So sadly, Christianity is not being considered because of division. Another reason Christianity may not be considered is because some who claim to be Christians aren't living by the code of Christianity, the teachings of Christ. And thus, through their hypocrisy, they become a stumbling block. But as we answer the question further today, reviewing the two answers given yesterday, one, when Christianity is worth considering because it's based in a person in whom we can believe. We can believe in Christ, not a dead messenger, but an ever-living Savior who is today living at the right hand of God. There's no memorial on earth, no place you can go and say, well, here are some bones, here are some remnants of our leader. No, Jesus is in heaven, and he ever liveth to make intercession. And so I maintain that Christianity is worth considering because it's based in the person Jesus Christ. Secondly, Christianity is worth considering because it's the one religion that can stand investigation. It held up to investigation in the first century, in the Middle Ages, and it can still hold up to investigation. Third, Christianity is worth considering because it offers compassion in a world that is often heartless and cold and callous. The number staggers the imagination when we try to guess how many millions there are in our world who do not have decent homes, who go to bed hungry at night, who do not have clean water to drink, whose bodies are racked with pain, people who are lonely, who are friendless, and in a thousand other ways in desperate need of compassion and concern. And such needs are not confined to primitive cultures and third world nations. Perhaps the most heartless of places can be in the midst of plenty and in a large city. And the loneliness of places can be a crowded apartment in one of those large cities. And into such a world, Jesus comes, holding up the example of the Good Samaritan, as the lesson is found in Luke 10, challenging his people to duplicate his own tears of compassion, as are expressed in Matthew 23, verse 37, when he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. So Christianity is worth considering because it offers compassion in a world that's often heartless and cold. And I suggest further that Christianity is worth considering as a means of escape from spiritual, fatal, worldliness or secularism. One has written that secularism is not diminishing, but it is a major rival of Christianity in the Western world. Sometimes the contrast between secularism and Christianity is direct, as in the case of atheism and the case of humanism. But the more dangerous contests occur when secularism quietly undermines Christianity. One has defined secularism as the organization of life as if there were no God. And without direct confrontation with Christianity, the secularist quietly gives his major and his primary interest to non-Christian matters. The secular man is characterized by his trust in learning, his trust in power, his trust in wealth, his trust in things, and yes, even his trust in himself. And when all these have failed, he has no place to go. A newspaper tells about a family which inherited $200,000 and just as easily squandered it in a short period of time. They said, "We bought cars, we bought motorcycles, we bought a truck, we bought the latest sound system, and we bought clothes. We put a down payment on the house, and we had all kinds of things done, but soon it was all gone." And they said, "Yes, we bought ski equipment, and we traveled, and we saw our psychiatrist." Money becomes a uniting force for the secularist. But what a high price people pay for low living. Christianity is worth considering as the means of escape from a world of its fatalism, from a world of discouragement, from a world of confusion. And again, I suggest that Christianity is worth considering as God's power to save men from their sins. In Romans 1, verse 16, the great apostle Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So Christianity offers God's power to save men from their sin. The wage of sin is death, Romans 6, verse 23, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Romans 3, verse 26, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one." With the wage of sin being death, then what's the remedy for sin? Our greatest concern should be the problem of sin, not the problem of AIDS or the problem of heart disease or the problem of cancer or this new mysterious disease that's being imported evidently from China that has no cure and no detection right at this point. Our concern ought to be the disease of sin. And the wage of sin is death. Sin, the transgression of God's law, the guilt that goes with it, and then ultimately the penalty that goes with it. Well, Christianity offers a remedy for the problem of sin in the person of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but might have everlasting life. A belief that is an obedient faith, faith which works by love, that leads one to feel the guilt of his sin. That's godly sorrow. The sorrow of the world worketh death, but godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And Christ said in Luke 13, verse 3, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We know that was significant because in verse 5, he stressed it again. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God once overlooked certain sins, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, verse 30, the great apostle Paul says. But it's not enough to just have godly sorrow, and not enough just to resolve that I'm going to turn away from sin, I'm going to turn to God, but to be obedient to God. For you see, he's the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey him. Hebrews 5, verse 9. How do we obey Christ? We, through repentance, through believing that he is the Christ, and by repenting of that. Also, by confessing that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Romans 10, verse 13, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When one has repented of sins through his belief in Christ, and has confessed that he is the Son of God, one is a proper candidate to be baptized into Christ, baptized into his death, to receive the cleansing blood of Christ. And then when he has done that and been added by the Lord to the Lord's church, faithfully he is to serve the Lord. My friend, have you rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ? Have you considered Christianity and then responded to it? Can it be that you're an erring child of God and need to repent and pray God for forgiveness, come back to him? If we can be of service to you in any way, please call upon us.